Opportunity is knocking. Open the door. It's time for Real Estate and Lifestyle Insights on KVI. This is Lewis Howard Live.
Thank you for waking up and joining Lewis Howard Live and being part of another Sunday conversation, all things real estate, business, and lifestyle. Thank you for being part of another fresh insight. Hey, what happens every week here on Lewis Howard Live. Thank you again. In today's show, we're going to get right into it, our spotlight segment. We're talking about design trends that will affect the value of your home. You know, there's always something new that comes out every seasonal year and so forth. But I like to pick the things that I think are going to be lasting trends that will affect the value of your home for years to come. So we've got 7 or 8 things on our list today. So you don't want to miss the spotlight segment as we go over what can have a good value on your house. And in the impact segment, we have our VIP guest joining us today, Leon McLaughlin. He is the CEO and founder for the Clean Water Foundation. And for all you Lewis Howard Live listeners, you heard me talk about the Clean Water Foundation last week as a part of those organizations that are reaching out and making a difference to children around the world. Well, we got the man himself that's going to be in studio with us talking about what he's doing to be a one-man wrecking machine to bring water to children around the world. So we'll be excited to have him in. And then lifestyle segment today, it's summer. It's on. We're in the halfway through June already, and summer's starting to kick in. And so we're going to pick out some events and things coming up for you and some places to go, because this is the time where kids are out of school, relatives are visiting, and you've got that time to really show off the Northwest in all of its glory. Hey, before I get started, we're going to jump right into the marketing segment and talk about that. But I am a kid that grew up watching Batman and had all the capes. And actually, if the truth be known, I still have a few things from the original Batman. And we lost a great hero, the original Batman. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no George Clooney, Michael Keaton, and whoever else played it. Adam West, the original Batman, passed on last week. And for me, that's a special part of my childhood. And for many of you out there that watched the Batmobile, the Boy Wonder, do your thing week after week. So salute to 40, 50 years of leaving a legacy that will continue to go on. So all my Batman fans, get you some of that. Hey, let's talk about the market. And there's still numbers coming out from May. We're already halfway through June, but there's always a delay, just so you know, so you don't think I'm repeating things. But the numbers take a while to actually get processed and pushed out. So sometimes because of the inside data I get, I'm a little ahead of some of the statistics. So I'm reading today some of the statistics that have come down officially talking about what went on in the month of May. And so one of the things that we are understanding before I get into the stats is we're hitting summer season, and typically that sort of slows down a little bit and people take a break because you're on vacation, you're taking the kids camping on trips, and it just, you know, you can see traffic starts to slow a little bit because school's out and so forth. So the thought being is that this could create some relief in sight for wearied home buyers that are out there trying to find that property or that home that they want. So again, as I said, it's seasonally slow. So many brokers, particularly MLS members, are speaking up and saying this might be the opportunity to give some relief. And so despite that, brokers notched 9,188 pending sales, accepted offers in the four-county region during the month of May. That caused another record to be broken. That is the highest ever reported for the region. So again, 9,188 signed around contracts during the month of May in the four county region, which would be King, Pierce, Snohomish, Kitsap counties. So overall numbers, there were 12,607 pending sales, and pending sales are those that are signed around contracts. So that's up from about, 2.7% from the previous year. So it continues to just set all kinds of records. And just a few quotes that have come out from the month of May, big month. Here's a quote from the CEO of John L. Scott, a good friend of mine that I've worked with in past, Lennox Scott. Said May was a grand slam month for housing activity, right? And so when you're the CEO of a big company and you got the data, that's a big statement to sort of make as well. And many of the brokers are hoping that it slows. Here's my opinion. And you can do the numbers. We've had 1,000 people move here per week since 2010. There's over 5,000 driver's licenses that are issued every month. We are an estimated 40,000 housing units short. Now, that includes affordable apartments and everything. So I'm of the opinion that it might slow, but slow is relative. That means it was 1,000 degrees and it's going to come down to 500. It's still hot. So I wouldn't be looking for the bottom to drop out. I think you're going to get a little bit of adjustment. And I think where you're going to see that in is you probably won't see as many multiple offers. I think that's probably where you're going to see that, because not as many people are going to be in that competitive zone. But I don't expect the market to take the break that it has seasonally done, simply because there is still a huge pent-up demand. And the other factor that many of those brokers who just talked about, all that exciting activity, is when it's summer here, it's summer other places. So that means people can actually travel and they can go check out housing and they can come to the area and check out where they want to live. And a lot of job transfers happens during the summer. So those are numbers that we don't necessarily track that can really impact it. So I am of the professional mind and opinion and mindset, how about that, that it will probably not see a big change. Sellers will still see what sellers do. So we'll continue to have that conversation, because I got some other stats I want to share with you about what happened in the merry month of May. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do stats too, and then we'll jump into our impact segment talking about design trends that are impacting your home. You're listening to Lewis Howard Live on Seattle's Talk Radio 570 KVI. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back at you.
With your real estate and lifestyle insights, this is Lewis Howard Live.
And we're back. Thank you for joining Lewis Howard Live. Every Sunday, it is your Sunday for real estate radio. Hey, don't forget, you can always go to lewishowardlive.com and catch up on blog posts and also get previous copies of the show. We're just going over what's been happening in the marketplace. Still recapping the merry month of May. That was one of the hottest months in the history of for sale housing. Sounds like I'm saying that every week, right? There's a new record being broken and shattered every week. And this week was over 9,000 pending sales that happened in the month of May for the Tri-County area. So if you're just joining us, that's what we're talking about. And I want to finish up with a couple more numbers and stats. I love to give you stats proofing material that you can actually have. So active listing wise for just King County, there was roughly 2,149 active listings. And so month over month, from month to month, that's an increase of plus 13%. And year over year, right, from last year to this year, that's down 20%. Also, I want to thank SeattleBubble.com, Tim over there, for providing this data in this manner, along with the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, which is where I get some of this intel from that I share with you. So I just want to give proper credit where credit is due. Closed sales, there was 2,576 closed sales. And so that was up 26% month over month and 2.7% year over year, as I just mentioned. And then seasonal adjusted sales is where you look at the time of year. So 1.31, and then that's down 9%. So that will continue to sort of gauge as we get into the summer month. Pending sales, where I talked about just for the King County area, there were 3,455 pending sales. That's up 23% year over year. That's down 1.3%. Months of supply. This is a number that everyone's always talking about. You have 0.83% of available housing. So not even a month of available housing, and that's down 10% from the previous month, and then 22% down over the previous year. Median price, when you add in all of King County, for not Seattle alone, but King County, median price is $632,250, and that's up 1% and down 12% year over year. And so most of these categories do not favor buyers. The only two categories that I just mentioned that maybe favor buyers is the slight decline year over year in pending sales and maybe the adjustment for seasonally adjusted cycles, which is what led to the first part of the story, me sharing with you that brokers think that this might be the time to help weary buyers out. Again, I'm not certain of that, but that is at least the bright spot that everyone's looking at. Otherwise, this market just continues to just burn, baby, burn, and continue to be good. So if you're a seller, continue to smile. If you're a buyer, hang in there. And if you're a broker, it's 24/7. And builders, got to get them done faster, right? So that just seems to continue message of the marketplace as we look at it. And we'll post some of this stuff on lewishowardlive.com, as well as we'll add to our blog posts and then podcasts that we do the show on as well. So we appreciate that. Again, our numbers are looking pretty good as far as you guys going in and downloading the show. And if you have questions, always, you can email me at lewis@lhoward360.com, and I'll try to get back with you. A couple questions I am behind that you asked, and I'll remember to get to those as we sort of move forward. All right, so let's talk about some things that from a design standpoint could have a big impact on the value of your home or design look for selling. Remodeling is big, and so a lot of people are spending time doing remodels and remodeling the property for sale or just to keep. And of course, new construction, right? So you're looking for the latest and greatest things. So I thought I'd run down a few things that I thought would be kind of cool, catchy cool, and that also might, you know, over long term have some traction that'll be there. So number one is satin brass. Now, this is funny to me because I remember development and stuff in the 90s where brass was big, right? You can always tell a house that was built in the 80s or 90s because it has brass. Well, brass is making a comeback. So it's made a comeback in the recent years, and so it's able to bring shiny tones to a space without a high price tag. So, you know, designers like Elizabeth Lawson has been turning away from the reflective finish of polished brass and then starting to do more of the satin or brush brass, which is a little bit more muted and warm. So brass is in. So if you had your brass from the 80s and 90s, just go polish it down and you're back in style. The other thing that's really new, that's a big design feature, is voice activated assistance. What is that? Well, that means that you can now have Bluetooth operations through Amazon, which is Alexa, and then Google, and it's able to talk to the voice assistant and tell them to do things around your house. So Amazon Alexa, which is enabled in the Echo Dot shown on the table, acts as a voice-activated interface for many smart home devices. So you've got, you know, the Nest, which basically allows everything to operate from your smartphone. And so now you can tell Alexa to start the oven or defrost the refrigerator, whatever it is. But voice-activated assistants are becoming a new trend. And I believe that that'll last for a while. I don't think that's just a short-lived deal. I think it's sort of the wave of the future as our house talking to us and you talking to the house, right? So that's a big deal. So check that out. Color-wise, now, it is interesting, is white with off-white. Now, a lot of the designs in the Northwest are used, we call it Northwest contemporary design, a lot of whites, contrast with grays and those colors, which has become the big norm. You know, accent painted walls were big probably in the early part of 2000s, right? So now it is white on white has become a big feature. It, you know, if it's not done right, you can feel like you just walked into a hospital. Right. So you have to kind of balance that if you're into that kind of color, balancing white palette with creamy off white stones, neutrals and so forth to kind of give it just kind of a balanced flair. I've walked into some places that have done just the white and it is just a weird feeling when you walk into just that space. But that's one of the big things that are coming up as new design features and ideas. The next one. Number four is splurging on laundry rooms, right? So everyone knows the kitchen and the baths are the big remodeling dollars. So if you're going to spend money and the most money is going to go into kitchen and baths. But many homeowners are starting to look at their laundry space. Toured a home last week that they had expanded the laundry space and actually made it into a arts and craft place for the kids, that the kids can kind of be there while mom or dad's doing the laundry, and so really opened up the whole room. So people are starting to invest it and use it more as a storage place and make it better functioning in terms of just being where you got the washer and dryer and maybe a sink. So that's interesting in terms of value because that makes more space, right? That adds more dollars to the value of the home. Laundry rooms per se don't bring money, right? They are utilitarian by nature. And so when you add, you know, functioning space in there, that kind of adds a little bit more money. I'm just saying from a valuation sort of standpoint. Entryways is another big one that entry like powder rooms, stairways, people are starting to spend a lot more money and time in that area where, you know, I call it some of the statement areas. So we got a few more of these, and I'm going to do just a couple more right after the break, and then we're going to have our special guest, Leon McLaughlin with the Clean Water Foundation. If you just joined us, you're listening to Lewis Howard Live on Seattle's Talk Radio 570. We're going to take a quick break, come back at you, and continue our Sunday conversation right after this.
On 570 KVI, welcome back to Lewis Howard Live.
Yes, indeed, you're home for Sunday conversation. If you're just joining the show, we've been talking about real estate, some design trends, the market, and always remember that you're never left out in the cold. You can go to lewishowardlive.com and get previous copies of the show. And we'll keep you up to date, and as well as we're posting blog updates on Lewis Howard Live. We'll continue to overhaul that, so we appreciate you joining. Last segment, we were just covering some things that I believe that are trends that could positively affect the value of your home. And so we had a couple things out. I just want to wrap up with a couple more items that are there that I think will be important. Indoor showers is one of the things that are coming up that people are starting to do more of, is adding an outdoor, especially summer, obviously, But to get around the weather dilemma, designers and homeowners are looking to do courtyards and strategic site placements to create bathrooms that connect deeply to the outdoors while still maintaining privacy. You see that a lot in Southern California, where you have outdoor kind of shower areas, especially if you're by beach area and so forth. So you do have that. Refrigerators, a big thing. And probably one of the biggest things is people are starting to invest a lot more money in the backyard spaces, right? That people are starting to realize that the backyard has been an underutilized real estate square footage. So to me, out of everything, doing the outdoor living spaces, really expanding that to make that sort of an extension of the indoors, I think is a big value piece and a design trend worth looking into. So if you're listening to me and you think about doing a remodel or changing, look to your backyard if you have that space, and because you can recover that fairly easy, and along with doing the laundry expansion and add more storage. You can never not have enough storage and places to hang out and entertain people. So those are some cool things. Check them out. And hey, if you got some cooler design ideas, hit us up. Let us know at lewishowardlive.com. Hey, don't forget, by the way, if you just join us, we do have at Lewis Howard Live on Facebook as a part of another way for you to reach us. So check it out. Hey, we promised you, and we have joining us in as a part of the show today, Leon McLaughlin, who is the CEO of the Clean Water Foundation. As I mentioned, I talked a little bit about it last week, and so we were able to get him to be a part of the Sunday conversation today. And so we want to talk to him a little bit about what he's doing, and I'm sure he's somewhere around the world right now reaching out and making a difference to kids. So, Leon, thank you for joining us and being part of Lewis Howard Live.
My pleasure, Lewis.
Hey, let's start, with you, because your story in and of itself is amazing. So I want to find out a little bit about your story and how you got into this, and then some of the things that you've been doing recently in terms of working with children. I know that's a passion of yours. You and I have been working together for a number of years, and so I know your passion. So just share with our listeners the Clean Water Foundation's perspective on changing children's lives.
Yeah. Well, we started out, as you know, I was traveling in Mexico, and I was talking to a lady in Mexico asking about these water barrels that was on the roofs that I seen over there. And she was telling me, yeah, they catch water. And what she actually do with her barrel is put it in her bathtub to store her water. And she was saying that one day she was having a gathering, and a tourist stopped over for the gathering, asked to use the restroom, seen the water in the tub, and drained it, and thinking he was doing her a favor, came out and told her that he had drained her water, and she started crying, saying that was her water for the month.
Amazing.
And they have to pay for water with the water trucks. So I was wondering if you could make a mobile water unit to design, and it could be solar and wouldn't have to cost anything. So I went to the University of Sacramento, California to study water distribution, maintenance, and repair. And with the professors there, we basically designed the machine. And as you know, I have a shoeshine stand also at the Columbia Tower. So while I was shining some of the city officials and county members' shoes, I was also asking them about how to invent a mobile water unit that would be solar and cost effective. And basically, long story short, that's what we did.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we are having a conversation with Leon McLaughlin, the CEO of the Clean Water Foundation, just giving us a perspective on our impact segment of working with children and bringing clean water. And Leon, that's one of the amazing, I know that recently there was a story featured on, of course, you've had lots of stories featured on you, but I know that Como Television did a story on Eric's Little Heroes on just your amazing story. Tell our listeners a little bit about that, because that's the pretty cool piece, is that you're not just this big conglomerate organization, but I just call you kind of a one-man wrecking machine that just started with a passion to do this.
Yeah, and the unique part is that we're operating out of a Shushan stand at the Columbia Tower, sending water units all over the world. And on that piece of Eric Heroes that we did, that was a piece that we actually sent water units to Swaziland, which I don't know if you know, but 50% of the country is ravaged with AIDS. So we work with the AIDS Foundation over there to actually send water units to Swaziland for children and their families, because what were happening is that you have all these home alone kids.
Sure.
And they were going to the river, like 7 years old, going to a river to try to get water, 6 years old to get water, and they were home alone anyway, and the crocodiles were actually drowning them and eating them for breakfast or lunch. So we were like, how can we stop this? So we actually put water units in these orphanages and schools, and now the kids go to school to get the water, and they get an education and learn about water also.
Yeah, and that's
what the
amazing
story was about, us helping the children in Swaziland in the AIDS clinics.
Yeah, and those are stories that we just don't think about in the United States of America. As I mentioned last week on the show, it's just not something we think about. So it's great to have someone like you that's really taken the lead, along with other great organizations that are doing that. But it's just the nature and the passion that you've shown. When did you start? So how many years have you been at this?
It's been about 10 years since the trip to Mexico. So it's been about 10 years that we've been doing this. And now we're like in 21 different countries.
Yeah. So we may
still operating out of the Shushan stand.
Still.
That's our head office.
Isn't that amazing? So what do children say when you are helping and changing their lives? What are some of the things and the feedback that you get back in terms of what you're delivering, the value and service that you're bringing to these countries and families and children?
Well, a good thing is that we're stopping a lot of waterborne illnesses, gastrointestinal infections, worms. The health is a lot better. It's 85 to 100% better. Diarrhea no longer is there for the little children. So it's a huge improvement. And even though they give me the nickname Stepdad, and I'll take it with no mystery, you know, they say you're saving our lives. And
sure,
that's a good thing that, you know, a life is precious. So, you know, and a child's life is really precious.
Sure.
So to be able to save a child's life is an amazing thing. And the reward we get is just being happy that we know that that kid could end up being president of a country, a brain surgeon,
sure,
or somebody that find the cure for cancer. You never know what type of talent is out there.
Absolutely. Hey, if you just joined us, we are having a conversation with Leon McLaughlin with the Clean Water Foundation. And if he'll stay around, we're going to hold him open for a little bit longer to get a few more things for our listeners. You're tuned in to Lewis Howard Live, your home for Sunday radio, Seattle's Talk Radio KVI. We're going to take a quick break. I promise you, we'll be right back.
Now, back to Lewis Howard Live.
Thank you. Thank you, as always. And shout out to everyone that's picking up the podcast of the show. I think we're well over 3,000 downloads. I am humbled by the amount of people that are picking up the show. Thank you so much. And I hope we're bringing fresh insight, news, information that you can use and make a difference. And today we have a special guest in studio with us, Leon McLaughlin, who's with the CEO of the Clean Water Foundation. And we talked a little bit about last week, and I just want to read some of those stats, and I want to get Leon's take on the vision and some of the other organizations he's working with and things that he's doing. I mentioned last week there was over 2.4 billion people that don't have access to adequate sanitation. One in three of the world's population, over 315,000 children die every year from diarrheal diseases caused by unsafe water and poor sanitation. Leon, are those things, numbers that sort of you are familiar with and understand as you work with organizations around the world?
Yeah, it's a huge problem. Like I said, we got 4,000 people dying a day for lack of clean water. 50% of the world's hospital beds are with people with waterborne illnesses. So imagine if they got clean water, you're freeing up a lot of hospital beds where they could go for other ailments. So it's pretty serious out there. But the thing is that it could be cured. That's the thing. You know, so we're working hard with organizations to get the word out and to get people to join us on the mission to bring clean, fresh drinking water to children around the world. If anyone want to go to our website, is www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org for Washington, and it tells about our latest projects. We just did a project in Kenya last week, and the children have clean, fresh drinking water. We're also working with the Peace Corps in Moldova and the Ukraine, where we just sent units to, and we also sent units to Venezuela, Cambodia, and Ecuador. We're going to be with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation this fall in their visitor center. They've picked us up, and one of their top water specialists actually helped me unofficially design a water unit that I got his blessing for Swaziland. So we got some pretty, you know, great organizations working with us, along with World Vision that work with us in South America.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's amazing that I'm hearing you, all from a shoeshine stand in Seattle, designing a water machine that kids don't have to risk their life to get water, how many countries that you've been in, and working together with all these organizations. How do you get all this done? Obviously, you got to ship stuff from here overseas, and you got things to deal with over there. How do you coordinate all of this stuff?
Well, the good part about it is working with these other organizations, like I was saying, the AIDS Clinic, the Peace Corps, they make sure that the units get there safely. We design the units. We get a water sample. We make a special filter, a special unit, solar, no electricity, because as you know, they have a problem with electricity over in those countries. So we design these no electricity units. They produce a gallon a minute of water, and you don't have to change the filters to after 10,000 gallons of water has been used on some of the machines that cost like about $125. Well, we have other machines that cost like $15,000 that's solar that could provide water for 5,000 people. But we basically use the other organizations as boots on the ground. So if you're working with the Peace Corps, you know, we'll send a unit to them. They'll have a location, and we'll install over there. You're working with World Vision the same way, the AIDS clinics the same way. So that's where we're kind of lucky, where you're not saying, hey, you know what, it's got jacked at customs, or it didn't arrive. So we got some great organizations that we work with that joins us, and, you know, we make sure that everything is done properly and all the equipment get in safe and sound.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we are chatting it up with Leon with the Clean Water Foundation, and just really bringing some perspective to the our impact segment about really working with children around the world and using water and sanitation tools to help improve life's condition for them. One of the things I wanted to pick up on, Leon, is that a lot of national news organizations have also picked up on what you're doing, have featured you. Can you just maybe speak about a couple of organizations that are nationwide that really caught on to what you're doing and wanted to talk to you about your story?
Yeah, like I said, we've had like World Vision, the Gates Foundation. We've had media coverage from NBC News, Fox News, Como, as you know, which is an affiliated of ABC. So it looks like, you know, the story is really getting out there because we're really making an impact on all the lives that we're saving. And it's just unbelievable that, you know, you can get an opportunity like that, you know, from the big media and huge organizations that joins us. So you got people really concerned about these children getting clean, fresh drinking water.
Yeah, and we're not talking about a few. Like you said, it's thousands into the millions. Do you have a story that maybe stands out in your mind of all the places you've done over the last 10 years and gone? Is one particular story just stands out with you of an experience that you had?
Yeah, my biggest story is that really stands out is that I was in South America, and we were down in the Amazon, and we were installing water units there. And we had interpreters, of course, and one of the was a lady that was speaking Spanish, and she was talking to the interpreter and was saying, our village need clean water. And we were down, like I said, in the Amazon, and the interpreter said, well, she was saying her village need clean water, and they were praying for water and clean water. And would you come to the village and talk to the kids and the mayor there and the village officials? And we were like, yeah, no problem. And like I said, we were at the Amazon. So we end up going up this road, which actually happened to be the most dangerous road on the planet. And I had no idea I was going up this road in Bolivia. And the name of the road was called Little Hell and the Devil's Tooth.
Wow. Well,
let me tell you, it was every bit of that. And I was praying and say, what did I get into? But when we got to the top of that mountain where this road was, and I seen those kids and the way they greeted us, it just touched me. Like, it just, like, it really, like wow. Nice. It was a God's thing all the way.
Sure.
And we were able to fundraise and actually get that village some water. Clean, fresh drinking water with a water unit. So
wow.
That was the story that really, like, really struck me, you know, that I'll always remember.
Sure, sure. Well, Leon, thanks so much for joining us today. And can you just give our listeners again, if they want to reach out to you and find out more information about your organization, how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org. And you can check out our latest projects there. And I'm also at the Columbia Center on 5th and Columbia at the Shushan stand there. Stop by and say hi. Or if you want to check out our latest projects, you can go to our website at www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org. And we also have developed home machines now with the Flint situation, where we're actually doing machines here in America for homes and businesses.
Wow. So even more stuff to come. Well, Leon, thanks very much for joining Lewis Howard Live. And I'm sure listeners appreciate getting that insight and making real what you talk about and what you're living every day. And thank you for bringing us that insight. And we'll have you back on, because I'm sure you'll have something fun, new and exciting to keep us up on. So,
hey, well, Lewis, thanks for having me on the show. And it's a pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. It was Leon McLaughlin with the CEO of Clean Water Foundation joining us for this Sunday conversation and bringing us a real perspective of children reaching around the world and the difference that can be made. That's what we call an impact segment, right? So we just enjoy doing this. Again, just to remind you that we have lewishowardlive.com. You can get us there, and you can also get us at Lewis Howard Live on Facebook, lewis@lhoward360.com. Thank you so much for tuning in and checking out another Sunday conversation. We'll be back with you next Sunday doing it all over again from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Seattle's Talk Radio 570. Thank you for joining us, and have a great Sunday.